Blog Talk Radio.
I want to be the very best, like no one ever was. To catch them is my real test, to train them is my cause. I will travel across the land, searching far and wide.
Hey guys, this is Those Guys with your host Matt Marrero, along with your other host
Satish Raman. That was the extended version, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. We'll be
and
playing that as our
short
ending as well. Yes. Well, okay. So yeah, I'm sure you want our opening to be 3 minutes long, which would be around the same opening.
I just laugh because I heard it and I'm like, that's the extended version, and that's how much of a dork
course
I am. That's how much
no,
of a
dork
I am.
No, of course. Well, because it would have ended right there, but it just immediately went on, and you're like, hold on a second. Because, yeah, we're going to play it as our opening and our ending. Usually we play the songs from the games as our opening, but recently the game's openings have just gotten longer and longer and longer. And today we're talking about Heart Gold and Soul Silver. But it's really funny how the game's entrances, and when I say gotten longer, or the openings, and you're like, well, how long, Matt? Original opening, about 30 seconds. It could work for a podcast. And they slowly got a bit longer and longer, and that's fine, you know, a minute long, okay. Soul Silver is 2 minutes and 25 seconds. Look that up. 2 minutes. Now, that's not a problem in any way, but having to cut that up and put that as an opening for the show, which is no, not happening, no. You know, we're playing the full thing. It's just really funny, especially looking at these openings, and it's just, Matt, play the game now. I can't. I saw the movie. I'm good. I'm pretty good. I've seen the movie. I don't know if I need to play the game. I'll come back to it soon. I have other movies to watch. Maybe the kids, that's a movie. I mean, think about how long vines are. So the kids, that must be like a year to them.
Yeah, vines are what, 7 seconds max?
6 seconds.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Welcome to the technology-dominated world, huh?
I wonder if kids, you know, maybe some teenagers, but mostly just kids, after six-second vines, look at our hour-long podcasts. Our raw podcasts are 2 hours. That's a lifespan. Yeah, our raws are 2 hours. And it's just, that's a lifespan. Someone lived and died in that time. It was only 2 hours.
Well, when you think about it that way, man, seriously, man, I mean, 6 seconds to 2 hours, right? And the opening must have been difficult for them to watch, even though this is the most glorious, in my opinion, this is the best Pokemon game that has ever been made, so.
Right. Oh, yes. No, we'll get into it just in a second, but before we really, really get into, you know, the game itself, well, our personal experiences and then, you know, some behind-the-scenes stuff in the game, I would like to mention our call-in number being 718-664-9468. You can use it to call into the show to just, you know, talk about the game. I mean, if you're sitting here and you're thinking, well, this is my favorite game, here's why, or you're thinking, man, I really did not like this game, actually. I either like the original more, or it just wasn't the strongest in the gen. Hey, you know, call in to talk about that, too, if you want. Maybe favorite Pokemon, you know, whatever you want to talk about in realms of this is the, you know, this game versus other games, or, you know, things like that. Call in, 718-664-9468. And Satish, what else can they do with our call-in number?
Yeah, well, if you're not calling in to jump on the air with us, you can always use that number, 718-664-9468, as a way to listen to us. Alternatively, if your internet is unavailable or just laggy at the moment, you can't blast us through your computer, you can call into that number just to listen to us.
Yes, 718-664-9468. And I laugh really hard because whenever I say, what else can they do with our call-in number? I feel like you're just going to have a bad guy kind of turn where it's just the Tish turns evil. They can shove it. Satish, no. Every single time I'm just, and what else can they do with our number? They can go to hell with
it. It's nice that you trust me with it, though.
Yeah, I do. Well, I mean, you know, we've known each other for so long, and I do. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's
also,
nice
I can
that
mute
you trust
you.
Me
but yeah. That. Worst case scenario, I can mute him and destroy his reign of evil tyranny.
I can mute you, too.
That's the scary thing, where good can also be triumphed by evil in that case. But let's bring up this Pokemon game. Let's actually get to some kind of order,
it,
I guess.
Yeah.
Order? Why not? I really enjoyed this game because, you know, of course I'm a huge fan of Pokemon Crystal. As many of you know, if you've been kind of listening to the podcasts, I was a huge fan of Crystal. And getting into this game, I thought, okay, well, what am I – because for some strange reason, I don't know why, but the idea didn't strike me that, Matt, everything's getting updated. It was like, yeah, I know, I'm playing a new game. Matt. Everything's getting updated. I don't know why. Maybe because FireRed has become such a big part of, you know, my memory that FireRed doesn't seem like it's like, dude, everything got revamped, everything's updated, everything's different. So it was kind of silly, I think, to assume that if I'm playing HeartGold and SoulSilver, that it's not just a complete, you know, like basically diamond graphics with a whole bunch of other stuff that it's just like, oh, hey, you know, you have a phone now, but it's different, you know? It was, you know, the idea of, damn it, I can't store all these numbers. You can now. Damn it, I just want to, you know, I want to, like, go to the PC and talk to Professor Oak and see how my Pokedex is doing. Why do that when you can just call him? It's like, oh. Well, shit.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, okay. Silver, Gold, Crystal, my favorite games ever. Being someone who grew up in early Pokemon, you know, it was very significant
right.
for me that they, in Generation 2, were able to directly connect it to Generation 1, where it was like,
mm-hmm.
so this is new, but we're not going to take back the stuff that you really liked. Don't worry. And
yes, it isn't
so that
like, I'm sorry to interrupt. I'm sorry, it isn't like, which I'm still going to, which, you know, I will be getting to, although I might not be even be on this podcast that we do in the future, Black 1 and Black 2, you know, White 1, White 2, where that was literally just direct sequel. Where Crystal, arguably, you can jump in and just go, Team Rocket, those guys from the anime, right, they were disbanded in this game. Okay, cool. And they're legends. Okay, cool. But so it isn't a direct, I mean, there's references, but it isn't like you are the same man you once were. Where from what I've heard from you, you're basically the same person from transitioning from Black 1 to Black 2?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, okay. So that was also interesting as well, where it was their way of going, it's like, you know, having a sequel, but it really isn't. You know, things have progressed in this world, but, you know, usually movies don't, you know, or TV shows, they do spin-offs, yes, but they don't necessarily do consider it a sequel when the main character is not there.
Yeah, it's one of these things where I don't know what you, if you want to call it a sequel or something like that, but
spin-off works very well.
You know, because for me, it's just a revamp, you know, because it's – and I loved it because
right. –
all right. So not everything was perfect because nostalgia, to be honest with you, because – excuse me. There's a matter of, like, the music sounds different on the DS, of course, and while that's kind of good in some cases, some people preferred the original 8-bit sound, and I understand that. And what was cool is that you even had something that they tried to put in for people like that with the Game Boy sound. But – there was so much that they did right in terms of this remake where it felt like they improved on everything they could have and everything that worked, they left it the same.
Right, right. Yes, there was a lot of cool things, I think, that they did with this game where, you know, I mentioned the idea. Oh, by the way, another thing is that something really cool is that so I love Crystal, right? But I would like to argue. And you can argue against me if you want, 718-664-9468. But I would like to argue that the game didn't really have much of a quote-unquote story. It was extremely fun. It added a lot of cool elements. And, you know, of course, added a lot of stuff from the older games. But, you know, Crystal, it was kind of just, okay, you're fighting Team Rocket again. They're still back. But I don't feel like it was there. You know, there was a lot of overarching stuff involved, in my opinion, right? There was some cool stuff thrown in here and there, but for some reason I feel like it was just, you know, not just you're playing the game, because, again, I love this game. But when you look at HeartGold SoulSilver, it feels like they wanted to add in stuff to make you go, it's, you know, you're not just playing Crystal again, or, you know, or Silver or Gold. Not as if that's a bad thing because of all the, you know, stuff that they added in, but they wanted to make sure it's like, listen, now you have Lyra coming in. Now you have the Kimono Girls playing a bigger part in this, you know, in this entire game. And of course, the idea that you can get Pokemon like Arceus and Dialga, Palkia. You know, you're sitting there and you're like, whoa, this is, right? Like, this is actually a thing.
Mm-hmm. And it's some of the stuff, you know, I don't particularly 100% remember. And it's just because they added things. When you said the Kimono Girls having a bigger part, I immediately was like, oh my God, that's right, they did.
It's fine. Well, because, you know, you think about the original, and they didn't. So, and, you know, of course, you know, so I can understand your, you know, your confusion. But, yeah, no, the Kimono Girls play a bigger role. And you know, and there's a lot of, I mean, cool, interesting stuff added to this. I always keep on saying that same phrase over and over and over again.
I get it.
But
because
it's true.
We were both like, man, this was cool. It really was.
You know,
and
I think,
we do that a lot. Dude, that was so cool.
But I think something very interesting that was added that I don't know if it was added to later games. I have not played, only when I played at X, and I can't even remember this happening in X. The idea of a Pokemon following you.
Yeah, that was a really, okay, that was just a really awesome thing about this gen.
Is it exclusive to this game?
Yeah, it is, essentially.
Outside of
the Pikachu.
Right, well, yeah, obviously, but you know what I mean. The idea of a lot of Pokemon being able to, not only, here's the thing, the things that they can do are amazing, because first off, they can follow you, right? So you're just like, well, yeah, duh. You know, you can talk to them and see their moods, right? But where it gets interesting is, first off, weather affecting it, where if you're out in the rain and you're talking to your Cyndaquil, it's like, dude, it's raining out here, man. And it's not saying, like, it's close to dying because of your incompetence, right? Which is what I first thought it was going to tell me. But it was still just like, Cyndaquil is surprised at the rain. You know, like, dude. And then you might throw out, let's say, like, Bellossom. I'm sorry, Bellsprout. But, I mean, hey, Bellossom, too. And it could just be like, it is happy to be in the rain. And you're like, You know, so that's the first thing. The second thing is, you didn't know this, Satish. I don't know why, but, I mean, it's been a while for you. The idea that if you have a shiny Pokemon, there is now a shiny sprite following you. So they not only made sprites for every single Pokemon in the game to be following your main character, but they also added the ability for it to be shiny if you caught that shiny Pokemon. Because instead of just loading the same thing again, or instead of just saying error, error, and making your game explode, any Pokemon that you catch that is shiny, it will now be shiny behind you. If it's, you know, the first in your party.
Yes,
I find that extremely fascinating.
Which I thought was cool because it didn't come up to me that often, or maybe Pokemon that I had following me were shiny, but I wasn't looking for it.
Right.
But it made me happy when you told me. I was like, wow.
You know, that's dedication, and I think that's why they probably didn't release it in other games, because the ability that, okay, in something like RPG Maker, that's a fairly easy script in the sense that, you know, you can have four people following you. It's just a general walk script. I mean, Final Fantasy and a lot of other games have those general walking scripts, so it's not hard to do. But what I think is hard to do is the idea that they have to, first off, make one for every single game, where when they add new Pokemon, then they have to add new 3D models. That's one.
Mm-hmm.
Two, having to now import these from one game to the next. That's, you know, even though they always import the old data into the newer games, which we'll talk about a bit later, as we usually do when we go a bit behind the scenes, still, having to import all these Pokemon now into the new game, and then give them the function to be able to follow your character, which, again, it's like, oh, well, that's normal. But, you know, a few of the things they did in this game, to me at least, for a handheld game that isn't going to be, it's obviously hackable, but isn't going to be done like, let's say, RPG Maker, where they make it to be hackable. I mean, you can easily just open up an RPG Maker game, and if you know what you're doing, you know, take that person's sprites out, tweak their scripts, and things like that. But in a game like this, you know, it's just to, you know, to not only have the Pokemon be following you, but you end up going, let's say, Nurse Joy, and you're like, please, take my Pokemon. Okay. Pops in the Pokeball. Gets put into, you know, gets healed, whatever. You walk away, and then the Pokemon poofs out right back behind you. The idea that when you do HMs, the Pokemon will, okay, like if you have a if you have your Geodude out, and your Geodude knows Rock Smash, and you're just like, Geodude, use Rock Smash. It will get in front of you and will smash the rock for you.
Mm-hmm.
That is mind-blowing to me.
And, you know,
maybe to some of our younger fans.
No,
not
but
so
to
much,
put that in perspective.
But,
because,
right.
You know, as someone who worked on a hack for Pokemon Black at the time, now you have to sit there and think every direction that it has to turn is a new sprite. So just very quickly,
right.
At the time, we're into fourth gen. So that's like nearly 500 Pokemon. So nearly 500 Pokemon, at least four sprites per. Then you need to consider that doubled for shinies. Then you need to consider the sprites for animations of HMs.
Right. And also, the shinies, while they aren't that big of an issue because you know how the shinies are going to look from the older Pokemon, so SoulSilver, technically they were lucky, but with something like Black 1, they probably laughed if someone brought up the idea. Because now you're making new Pokemon, one. Two, you are now having to 3D them. Three, you are then having to use your shiny, because again, shiny recoloring isn't the issue, but it's now doing new shiny recoloring, if you will. Because let's say you're, you know, a shiny Geodude. Shiny Geodude's been around for a while. You know, they know that shiny Geodude will be gold. So it's not that hard to go, you are now 3D in gold, if you were 3D before. But the idea where it's just, okay, so, you know, we're trying to make these new Pokemon, we're trying to... you know how to make them shiny. What shiny were they?
Yeah, no, I see your
point. And then adding in 3D, and then 3D recoloring, and then, yeah, like you mentioned, now any new HMs have to be worked into this. And you're sitting there, and it's just, again, maybe like in the board meeting, I'm sure that, you know, at first Game Freak, you know, it was just, oh, yeah, we did this for this game. It was really, really nice. Now, what about the next game? And then other than one guy, they all just laughed. No. That was an exclusive thing. Let's not even fucking go there.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just, how can you, after that, you know, after that game, where at least that game had the opportunity, if you will, to be a remake, to include, include new Pokemon, but only new to the heart, you know, to the gold and silver section of, you know, of us, where we're just like, oh, these are new Pokemon for this game. But really they aren't, because they've been around in Diamond, Pearl, Platinum, Ruby, Emerald, Sapphire. So they're not new. So you think about it. To us, we're like, oh, that's new. But to them, they've been around for a while. You know, the people who created the game, they made them a while ago. So it's a bit easier, I think, to do that with this game compared to Plaque 1 and 2, where it's just... Mm-hmm. Maybe two, they would have had the opportunity to try that out, but not for one at all.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with what you're saying, and it still makes me think about the ridiculous amount of effort, because...
Oh, yeah.
Yes, they're a big company, they've got big sprite artists, yeah, but that's still just a crazy amount of effort, and I think what was great is that it was really appreciated. Where people honestly looked at it and thought, this is awesome, and made use of it. Where even if it was like I was telling you, I was making jokes, where it's like, yep, Waylord led my party, just because. But...
Right.
You know,
yeah.
There's a lot
and
of
also,
stuff. And that's just one little facet of the game.
Right, and something we didn't mention, by the way, or maybe you did, and I'm sorry if I didn't catch it. All of the messages designed, where many of them are generic, but some of them aren't. Like, some of them, like, I assume if there's Mewtwo behind you, you're not going to turn around and it's going to give you the nice cutesy face, and Mewtwo is happy to be with you, you know?
Mushy, yeah. Mewtwo desune.
I know, yeah. Mewtwo desu. Hi.
Mewtwo. But that just wouldn't work.
No, so I'm sure it's just Mewtwo is wary of your presence. Like, you click A too many times, Mewtwo has picked you up. Like, you just levitate, Mewtwo has picked you up. Mewtwo has had enough of your shit. Which, by the way, right, that's a weird segue, but I think it works in my head. Speaking of these sprites, you know, we talked about the idea that Pokemon Diamond, Pearl, and Platinum, we talked about this last show, where we said, damn, or I said, damn, this must have really revolutionized or really kind of took people back from the idea of Pokemon hacking, right? Maybe now it's better because now we have, you know, 3D model this and 3D model that. I mean, I can personally make a 3D model house and print it out on a 3D printer.
That
so,
makes you really happy, right?
You have no fucking idea. You have no fucking idea.
I need to tell you guys this, whoever's out there listening, because our school has a 3D printer. And
our college has a 3D printer. Okay.
Yeah, so the second that I informed Matt that we had one, he immediately was like, really? Because I think I said verbatim, oh, yeah, we were printing little houses with it. Because
I asked you.
Printing little houses with it.
Because I asked you, I said, oh, what does that mean necessarily? And when I got to see it today and I got to see, you know, I didn't really see it work, but I got to see the houses that came up from it. You know, my ideas all formed into one, and I realized we can have Godzilla slash, you know, Power Rangers slash Super Sentai slash, not Kamen Rider necessarily unless you're Kamen Rider J, slash Ultraman battle. Haha, yes, you know, barely knows of Kamen Rider, this man, but he knows a good J when he sees one. So, you know, we are, unless, of course, it's ZO, in which case you're fucked. But anyway, hopefully some of you got that. But anyway, so we can have a monster fight is the point. And by monster fight, I mean Satish and I being, quote-unquote, giants in a very small city because of 3D printing. And the idea, by the way, that it's just, hey, just go on this website and you can make the 3D, you know, I feel like back in, and maybe I'm wrong here, but back when the games first came out, it wasn't so easy to just make these 3D things without, knowing shit. Where now it's just, I can make a 3D house. And it's just like, wait, in my head, I think I could import this into Diamond, Pearl, and Platinum, let's say, right? But back when these games first came out, right? So jumping back to the past, right. Back when these games first came out, specifically now referring to HeartGold and SoulSilver, did this not, I mean, just take all of the hackers and just, I mean, kick you right in the ass?
Yeah, no, it's fun because there's also, okay, so in the new Kirby Triple Deluxe, in the last level of the game, when you finish it, there's a banner that shows the original Kirby to the Kirby you're playing with in the 3DS game. And it's one of those things that makes you realize, like, we had a flat 2D black and white Kirby. And you think back to Pokemon, I mean, hey, it was the Game Boy Color, but we had a flat 2D, essentially, small, like, barely colored character. And now we've switched to, at least, even in HeartGold and SoulSilver, just full 3D, just vibrant color. The buildings are shooting out. And it just... You know, it was cool for me because, okay, and I think I've mentioned this before, HeartGold SoulSilver is the first game that I essentially played on my own on DS. A friend of mine was actually, he gifted me his half-broken, not gifted me, but he let me have it because he's getting a new one, which was actually really kind of him because he'd be like, oh, you gave me the half-broken one? No, I couldn't afford a DS at the time. So
worked. It was just half-broken in some way that a game store couldn't take it.
Yeah, the hinge on the screen was broken. So, like, it was really loose flipping up and down. So a game store wouldn't take it for credit. But it played games. So, and I still have it, by the way, because it makes me happy that he was doing that for me. So I got that, and I was able to afford SoulSilver. And that made me really happy because Silver being my favorite game and also part of the huge origin for my nickname, it was really important for me to be able to play the remake. And so then I got the remake, and it was just me reliving my childhood again and just falling in love with this game, the story, the music, everything, all over again. And it was just – it's fun. I mean, I sit there and I really – and there was a lot of stuff added to it that made you more interested. Plus, all the new Pokemon, because I was a fan of Gen 3, you know, so – I have Gen 3's Pokemon, and they're accessible to me at the end. And the little quirky things that I like the bug-catching contest.
Right.
I mean,
So, you know, you've gotten off on a tangent, Satish. We never do this. No, but anyway, no, but of course, you know, I love your stories and you know, of, and of course Tristan's as well, whenever he gets to come on and he's not in the future protecting time and space. I enjoy the, you know, us just talking about our, you know, our fun times that we used to have with these games and how now, yeah, they've evolved into these remakes that we have today. And honestly, so long as, even though I love, would love to see, let's say, you know, silver or gold or crystal in a, you know, in a 3DS kind of model, I would also hope that the, I hope we don't start getting into double remakes, is my point. Unless it's, you know, yellow, which is technically Fire Red Leaf Green, you know, Red Blue. But other than that, I don't want to get into double remakes, triple remakes. That makes me scared. But anyway, where we are
double
right now.
Double triple remakes?
Yes. So in other words, it's just
bad.
Yellow on the 3DS. Heart Gold and Soul Silver. No, just super Heart Gold. Super Soul Silver. Triple S on the 3DS. But anyway, but seriously, though, so, yeah, you darted my question. You semi-agreed, but then you just immediately went, so, yeah, this game basically said to hackers,
go for it.
Don't hack. You can't hack us.
Yeah, no, I was right, because I was just in my amazement of it. But, yes, of course,
right.
3D makes it much harder. Now,
yeah.
Saying this as someone who worked with Pokemon Black, not impossible.
Right.
But
no.
We have to step up our game.
Also, let me explain, by the way, when I say hacking, so all of you might be like, oh, well, no, I don't mean, you know, the idea of, because of course, yes, you have to step up your game, and I'm sure it was, I don't say easy, but it was easier, let's say, to hack, you know, the script, and also to, you know, because, I mean, the script, yes, scripting is hard, and yes, it's hard to find the pointers and know where you're looking for certain data, but I feel like, you know, it's a bit easier to do that, only compared to, I am now, like, how do I change up 3D models? Exactly. Where now, personally, I think it's easier. With, you know, with things that are specifically made to do, like, you know, 3D for 3D printers, I assume in my uninfinite knowledge...
I don't know how many times you're going to plug that.
In my uninfinite knowledge, that using this technology, you know, to make 3D models, you can possibly then import them into games now. Uninfinite knowledge, right? But... Back in the day, yeah, like 10 years ago. Was this 10 years ago or was it a while ago? Wasn't it? I'm pretty sure it was.
Not 10.
What am I saying?
10.
I'm an idiot. 5.
Yeah, it was some time. Yeah.
Right. I'm an idiot. I said 10. But still, it was.
Because
okay. I'm sitting here and I'm like, no, that was Ruby and Sapphire. I'm close. Not that close. But anyway. So, still though, it was, you know, 3D models, yes, good. But still, you know, again, a lot harder to map, I feel. Because, you know, there's a reason why, of course, Fire Red and Leaf Green are very popular amongst hackers. Because, the you know, it's just, not just, because again, that is still hard in itself to learn. But it's still just, you know, 2D, you know, models and, or 2D maps that you can just, you know, use, they're called tiles and tile sets. You can just, you know, fix up those tiles, you can re-import them. We all know where the data is now if you just, you know, look hard enough and you really study how to script. And I'm sure it's a lot easier to just kind of relocate things here and there, where in this game, you know, just like in the other games, you have to think about the fact that it's not like RPG Maker where you make things from scratch. This
Correct.
Game has been packed. It's been packed. So, and packed in a way where it would be like saying, okay, everyone, you see this packed up box that another person packed up for you? You have to find empty room in that box and from that work around it so you can put in stuff that you want to and remove stuff that they've done but without setting off the bomb that's located, a weight censored bomb that is located underneath the box. It sounds like a crazy analogy, but it's true, because if you move something the wrong way, oops, your ROM is bad. Oops, you just screwed it up. Hopefully you have a backup. Oops, it's gone forever. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, can happen in Fire Red. But I assume...
Fact Checker says, March 2010 in America. So actually...
Thank you. So,
it's interesting because... It's crazy because March 2010 is not that long ago. But
right.
Because of all the Pokemon that has come out since then, it almost feels that way. Because...
Let me
think about that for a second, because we've had one every year. So after Soul Silver, Black 1, Black 2, X and Y, and we're about to get tomorrow Well, not tomorrow, I'm sorry. On Friday, the remix of the third gen.
Let's think about this, shall we? I assume 2010, it may have been a bit later for us in Merca, I assume. So, but yeah, you look at, it's weird though, because yeah, 2010.
No, March 2010 in America, dude.
But no, what I mean is, I mean, Japan got it a bit earlier.
Yes.
Like, and then I think they've maybe closed the gap a bit more in certain you know, newer games. But no, but yeah, looking at this, we got Black 1. We got Black 2. And I'm only counting one of the games because you count both. I mean, they both come out at the same time. Black 1, Black 2, X, and now Omega Ruby. And that's, yeah, that's four. That's one every year if we assume that, you know,
yes,
March.
Because that's the way it basically had worked. And we were all talking about this, but it's just amazing that they've been able to put it out at this pace.
Well,
because,
you look at,
I mean,
you know,
it's
well, I think, think of it like this. Think of it like this. You know, now what they've been doing, you know, ever since, of course, you know, Fire Red, Leaf Green, is the idea that the first game, you know, we are.
Yeah,
and
2009
I don't like
in Japan.
Okay. And by the way, again, I hate using the word prototype because that makes it sound as if there's an inferior product, which there isn't. But the idea of, okay, the new game that's made on the new platform is, no duh, new. And, you know, and so there's going to be some kinks and there's going to be some new things that we're going to try out that we're going to see how they work in later games. And you look at, you know, HeartGold Soul Silver, and then it's just, and you see some things that were left over from the previous game where the waving Pokemart sign that, you know, turns, that was left over from previous data in Diamond and Pearl and Platinum, or I think specifically Platinum. So it's something they wanted to implement, but they didn't just yet. So the idea that it's just, okay, we'll try and then when they make, you know, the remake, because you look at Ruby and Sapphire, right? And then they made the remakes, and then those were glorious. And then they even made Emerald after that, which was glorious. Pearl came before HeartGold Soul Silver, but still, you know, in Gen 3, that was how that worked, which is why in Emerald, the wireless cable link cables work with Fire Red and Leaf Green only, and not Ruby Sapphire. But anywho, you know, the idea that they start off a new gen with the new game that you know, the new games that are great, but have, I don't, again, nothing lacking, but you see how they're improved upon in HeartGold Soul Silver in this case, and how they'll, you know, they added in more 3D, they, you know, but not making it look weird. And now you look at the same thing with X and Y, where I'm not saying, again, in any way that X and Y are an inferior product, because that's silly, but I am sure that Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire will be a step up rather than a step back.
Mm.
Because they've just had the time to look at, you know, what they were doing with X and Y, work on anything that, you know, couldn't be worked on in time, and possibly add even more things that are making us go, whoa, man, no way. Nah, dude, no, that couldn't be possible. Because that's what we always say every single year. And then they show us up.
Yeah, no, and I'm down with it. I mean, I sit there and I'm just really glad, and I think that I'm going to have the same fondness for Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire that I have had for Soul Silver and HeartGold.
Right.
And, you know, we've seen already, I think what's cool for me now is, like, I can say that because when HeartGold and Soul Silver came out, I was into the internet, but I wasn't following, like, everything that they were doing. Whereas for Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, I've sat here with you and with some other friends of mine, and just every step they've made, like, oh, this is going to be in the game, that's going to be in the game. Like, we've been able to do an actual preview show on it out of how much information has been leaked.
Right.
Which is cool.
No, there are a lot of, you know, cool things about you know, where we've gone is, because in some ways it feels like, oh no, we're not, you know, we're being spoiled, like, in a weird way, but in some ways it's just, you know, no, never mind, I love this, I love all of this, this is great, you know, because it's a bit unlike something like professional wrestling where it's a giant story, where in this case it's just, I want more of it, please give me more.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just so damn good. But anyway, talking about, so we've talked about what we've, you know, enjoyed. We talked about the idea that, yeah, it made hacking harder, but I assume now, you know, you've gotten the hang of it. We've gotten the hang of it in terms of, you know, what we can do with this game. But of course, I mean, hell, the idea that the opening is in 3D, too, I just realized. Touch to start. That in itself is in 3D. And it's also on two screens, by the way. Another interesting thing that I think most people don't think about if they think about hacking, where it's just, you know, Game Boy Advance, one screen. HeartGold, Soul Silver, you know, Diamond, Pearl, but two screens. You have to deal with two of those damned things and how they interact in some ways. Now, right. Imagine that. Some of, you know, how they interact, I think, is the craziest thing as well.
Yeah, I mean, but that's like us literally going into a session about, like, man, the DS is a cool system, which it is. But
No. We don't have to do that at all. But it's just the idea that, you know, again, when you think of it from a hacking perspective, one that obviously a lot of people don't really go into, it's just, guys, everything was good. And then the DS came. Right? And then the Fire Nation.
No, but see, like, definitely, the DS is something that people are going to look at with a lot of, like, in the future, they'll be happy. Because I think Harkonnen Soulsilver is going to go down as one of the crown jewels of their Pokemon achievements.
Right.
And it's just something I don't think that is exactly a minority opinion either, where most people that you talk to, I think, not only were extremely fond of Gen 2, but really liked the remakes.
I would feel the same. I mean, because I don't think that these remakes did anything to, you know, like when you look at remakes in movie form, right, usually they shit on everything you loved. But in this case, I think they just found a way to add on to it to say, like, hey, listen, you know, I know you like that old game because it was great, but here's Lyra. Now, if you're thinking, why the hell do we have Lyra? Well, what did you have before?
I had nothing.
So you have Lyra, and she really helps you out in certain ways. You know, apparently her grandparents are the daycare people.
Right.
Which, by the way, was great when her grandmother's just, oh, that boy is your friend?
Yes, Grandma.
Oh, I did fine to have a boy who is also your friend. You know, and then just, although it's really funny because when you tell her in other games, or, you know, in Crystal, or, you know, Gold, Silver, when you tell her that you don't want her to raise, to your Pokemon, she goes, oh, fine, well then, come again, right? And it sounds kind of cold, but I'm like, oh, well, you know, whatever, old lady, I'm not giving her my business. Now in this game, it sounds extremely cold, where it's just, oh, okay, fine then, don't date my daughter, don't give me your Pokemon, fine, go to hell. And I'm just like, come on, I know you, give me a better response than that, I fucking know you. Oh, fine, well then, there's the door, you'll see my husband on the way out, won't be getting any calls about Pokemon eggs from that guy, will ya? Like, which, by the way, another cool feature, it's just, like, it really shows you, I think, I don't know if it's them kind of making it easier for, you know, the children playing, because I'd make an argument that, you know, Pokemon competitive battling gets, you know, is where the adults can play this game and not feel, you know, where it's just, you know, people can just go, oh, adults should be playing this game. Right, because there's no functions of this game that could work for adults. None whatsoever. None whatsoever, fucking, right? But you look at the story and, yeah, I feel, or the gameplay, and you can tell that they're making certain things a bit easier for the kids, where it's just, you know, you mentioned the last game, just, hi, how are you doing? They're like, my name is Bill, take this item. Right.
Yeah,
Bill,
I mean,
Bill gave you a Master Ball
to me today. When you were playing Soul Silver, you realized that poison could no longer kill your Pokemon.
Oh,
and
God, that is a bit
in
frustrating.
In fact, later on, I believe this was implemented in Gen 5 in Black. The poison, or it may have been Gen 6. I get wrong on this kind of stuff. I am wrong on this kind of stuff a lot, rather. Screw my grammar. But in one of them, the poison actually stopped affecting you outside of battle completely.
I find that frustrating because, look, like, I'll be honest, right? The idea that you can have your Pokemon be cured from poison by having it wear off is an effective. I enjoy the idea, but I think it should be more of a randomizer kind of thing where you don't know if it's going to happen. If it happens, good for you, right? But if it doesn't, that's why you should be carrying antidotes. You know, I mean, there's a reason why they put in an antidote and didn't just say, hey, hop on your bicycle and go to the nearest Pokemon Center. There's a reason for that. You know, just get rid of antidotes then and just give me, you know, and just keep full healed. Because they're just like, oh, we only need, you know, I don't know. I sound like a bitter old man. But it's just, you know, but, okay, you make some things easier, fair enough. You know, you have competitive battling for us, fair enough, but... You know, I still feel like they just wanted to add on more to it, you know, for them and for us. And, you know, of course, again, make things – oh, now I remember exactly what I was trying to say. Pinpointing the – I don't know if they're making it awesome, you know, adding on to the easy. They're also adding on social commentary, which is everyone you talk to. hey, man, let's totally exchange numbers,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, you said that on air, where you think that apparently that's Japan's
yes.
plot to get
yeah,
them
Japan's
to be more
plot.
Social. Where it's like,
well,
if
no,
you
no,
talk
no.
to people,
that was,
they'll give you stuff.
That was my half-joke, half-realistic take on, you know, the general moving towards, you know, like, you know, giving people things. You walk out in Japan and everyone's out in Japanese after playing Pokemon. They're supposed to just expect to get things for free. No, but the idea is, in this case, it's just a commentary on, the idea, right? That it's just, you know, all the kids nowadays, what are they doing? Totally give me your cell phone number, man. Totally. Like, everybody. Even the old man at the daycare center just said, I mean, totally give me your number or something. I mean, you know, got to use the poker gear my granddaughter gave me.
Yeah, no,
kinda
it's
wanted,
funny because
yeah.
I think, okay, we've talked about Gen 2 before, haven't we? So, have we?
There is a show on Pokemon
yeah.
Crystal that we've done, yes.
That's what I'm talking about. No, because, like, all right, it's very easy for me to sit here and talk about why
mm-hmm.
Gen 2 and the remake of Gen 2 is amazing. You know, because
yes, of course.
The little quirky things about the gen, like I mentioned the bug catching contest, or something
right.
like, I don't know how you felt about this, but Kurt and the Apricorn Pokeballs. I liked those. So much so that
yeah.
I actually have a plush of a Moonball, which was
oh,
one of the
in my
Pokeballs
head.
You
in,
could. A plush of
in
Kurt?
In my head. Yeah, exactly. Just, I have a plush of Kurt. What? Yeah,
I
dude.
Really, if they make those, that would be really interesting.
I assume, okay, I assume
just
is
with talking action, and all he says is, give me your apricorns.
I assume it isn't, like, licensed by Nintendo, but I'm sure Etsy has just Kurt, you know, with a bunch of different apricorns around him. And
that
it's
would
just,
be fine.
And it's,
I mean,
yeah.
just compared to, but he has to have phrases like, give me your apricorns, or save the slowpokes, everybody. Only you can slave the slowpokes.
I would like to squeeze them and just go, ah, you're hurting my back. I hurt my back and I couldn't go save the slowpokes. It's up
there
to
was,
you.
There was also
what?
Something specific about Heart Gold and Soul Silver. And we talked about in Gen 2, like the unused Celebi event and how we basically missed out on a lot. But
right.
we got a Celebi or something like that around here because
mm-hmm.
of the fact that, and we got a continuation as to the Wyvil's backstory, basically,
yes.
you know, implying, excuse me, because we all had been told that that was Giovanni's kid, but it was set directly to explain that that's Giovanni's kid, the rival that you deal with, and Maddie's making fun of me because I said only I can slave the slowpokes, because apparently I can't say save the slowpokes. That's a tongue twister for me. But
I thought you said save, but I don't know.
No, I did screw up. I heard myself, but I just laughed
okay.
because I'm like, apparently
I can only poke save the slowpokes. Look,
yes,
they're all ice types now. How cool is that, dude? I just hacked all of your slowpokes.
But that's a terrible thought. But no, I think if I remember correctly, there was like it's a type of specific event where you ended up
mm-hmm.
pursuing Giovanni on your own because Celebi took you to the past.
Sounds normal, yeah.
No, it's something like that, and my memory is failing me right now, so I'm probably gonna see if
well,
you know,
if Maddie could, yeah, if a fact checker Maddie could help us with that, while I
this is HeartGold Soul Silver specific.
Yes, well, I get something. I can tell you something that we didn't get actually. We in Japan, there was a Shinjo ruins.
Shinjo, ah, okay.
It is Shinjo. Apparently, Shinjo ruins that we do not get to go to in America. Because Arceus that was distributed at Japanese movie theaters and Toys R Us enables the player to enter the Shinjo ruins and choose between a level 1 Dialga, Palkia, and Giratina. So
That sounds about right.
I'm going to safely assume that unless you're using a hacking device, you are not able to get into the Shinjo ruins. But something even cooler, something cooler than we were fucked in America. Apparently, there is an unused Hall of Origin event. Right?
Now, that
I've
heard about.
It is not as well known. It is an unused Hall of Origin event, Arceus. And it's within Diamond, Pearl, and Platinum. And if it's obtained through the hacked Azure flute, or a warp to the hall, right, you can enable a second trip to the Sinjo ruins. And that hiker in the cabin actually has different dialogue. And now you can choose between the other ones that you couldn't get before. However, and of course, there's even another cutscene. However, there is no way to get the third one. So if for some reason you choose, you know, I choose Dialga second time around, I'll choose Palkia. Well, poor Giratina, I mean, you just kind of left her there. Like, what? Or you kind of left it there. What are you doing? Like, you're just like, I just took, it's like saying, look at all these three puppies. They're brothers? Awesome. I'm going to take, you said, you're just alone. I'm going to leave you alone, puppy. I mean, you know, whatever. Go to another family. Fuck off. Like, that's really, I feel like that's such a dick move, where it's just, at least in the, at least when you're picking the Pokemon from Professor Oak or whatever other professor, I only pick one. And yes, your rival picks the other, which it does kind of make a sad little thing, but hey, the other Pokemon can be with Professor Oak. But it's just the idea of, you know, it's just, I can come back and get both and then leave one? Okay. So the third one's just like, come on, guys, I'm cool. Hiker's pet. I imagine a hiker petting a Giratina. Arr, maybe next time. I don't know why the hiker is a pirate now, but he can be a pirate, right? So he's like, arr, maybe next time. Giratina's like, but it's okay. It's okay. Cry it out.
So, Fact Checker finally, thank you once again, was able to come through
here. Thank you for cutting me off. Thank you.
Yes, I had to because of your
random. No, please. No, arr. Please. Thank you. I need no. this sometime.
But no, so yeah, thanks here because essentially what happened was, so verbatim here, you go back 3 years in time with either Ethan or Lyra and see Silver and Giovanni arguing about Silver not wanting to join Team Rocket. And then you go back to fight Giovanni in the present, and when you beat him, he'll tell you that you remind him of Silver, his son. And this was cool for me because, all right, this was one of those theories because you fight him in the waterfalls, in a cave in the waterfall. And, all right, so I don't know, I don't think you've ever seen this scene, because based on me telling you about the event, you haven't. But when you beat Giovanni in this event, he leaves the room. Like, and you remember, like, the general little cave entrances?
Yes.
Like, okay, so he leaves through the cave door, and then you hear the sound of the water, the waterfall going on in the background. And then a rocket transmission comes through essentially saying that Giovanni is not with us.
Wow.
And so now many people just sit there and they'll say, you're thinking too much about it. And I get that. I totally do. But I am one of those people who's on board with the idea that Giovanni, out of frustration through everything, might have done something drastic. And there are some things either way that make it this obviously a theory and not in any way a fact.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just something that I thought was intriguing.
I'll bring up the idea too that, I mean, you know, I can understand someone thinking that he may have done something like that, you know, where, because of the idea that, you know, you sit there and it's just, you know, I mean, Giovanni is probably not happy, right? And it's not like it's not just, you know, I know it's a kid's, you know, a kid's game and a quote unquote, you know, but at the same time, it's just, you know, this is America writing the script, where if you just let America, specifically Disney, write it, it's just Giovanni left, but he's totally having awesome adventures in Hawaii, away and having fun with his kid named Silver. Everyone's happy. No one died. No, like, this is Japan. So in Japan, it's more like Giovanni really had a bad day, right? His pain and sadness is not going to go away. He was beaten by a 10-year-old, everybody. You know, so it's just, it's not as happy as, you know, many people would have made it had, I think, the game either been American or, you know, American-made specifically. And also, but of course, having to have, you know that there is an American audience there, that are children, they can't just say, you know, what I assume happened. You know, and I'm sorry to say this. I don't think he's having awesome adventures in Hawaii with Silver. It's a lovely thought, but I'm 98% sure that he's not having a vacation. Nor has seen the light and turned good.
It's totally possible.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, I know it sounds like a giant joke, but it's just the idea on how, you know, if you get Disney or any of these other, you know, kind of these more American, you know, they look at when they think the children can't handle, And they just go, and Gin Giovanni realized the error of his ways. You know, he lived out his days with a very happy, long, happy life. They were musicals. It was great. The animals talked and shit.
It's not something completely out of the question. And Giovanni, of course, in storyline, had then been beaten in Gen 1 and in Gen 2 on numerous occasions.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, food for thought. On happier notes, there were some things, you know, you mentioned earlier very quickly, the Kimono Girls had a much bigger role in this game. In fact, you needed to beat them to get the, and this I might be wrong on, the Clear Bell or the Title Bell, which I think were the items that, because if you got the Rainbow Wing or the Silver Wing, you could visit their towers, but you couldn't in these games actually go through with the encounters unless you had the bells.
Right.
And that was cool.
Quite interesting.
I always had a fondness for the Kimono Girls because just walking into a place of cultural people who were using all EV evolutions, I was like, this is cool. This is something that I
can appreciate. They always struck me as something fun, I think, fun and interesting and in a way new because of the idea that they, and I hate to use this word, but they let it slide. You know, in a game that has a lot of localizations, not even translations, just complete and utter localizations, right? And, you know, some kind of translating-ish, but still pretty localized all around, right? So just say, and, you know, and of course, sprite changes when necessary. It was very nice to just go, leave in the Kimono Girls. Why? Just leave them in, you know? It was nice to have that, I think. Instead of just being Kimono Girls, let's try our hardest to make it into a restaurant where they're now, you know, they're like their 1950s, you know, the women on the roller skates at those like 1950s, like, you know what I'm thinking of, like the drive-through kind of takeout-ish. You know what I'm thinking of, right, Satish? I'm not crazy.
Sure.
You shut your Satish mouth, damn it. You know what I'm talking about. But anyway, so yeah, I'm happy that it wasn't just, I mean, maybe that was an idea at one point or another by the American branch, but I'm really happy that it didn't turn out that way, especially because that would have made things very awkward in this game. But I'm really happy that it was just, you know what, leave it, you know. And as a kid, I got to see these. I was like, oh, there are women in these dresses, and it is a hard-to-pronounce word. Okay, I battle Pokemon, right? And now that I'm older, I'm like, Kimono Girls. Well, shit, Kimono Girls. You know, I was like, that is new to me. You know, again, just the idea that it's like, well, they, you know, they were kept. I mean, they weren't in any way changed into something that would have been, you know, kind of, I don't want to say anti-Japanese, but yeah, I mean, it would have just been like, let's erase all the Japanese that we can. Where I'm very happy they didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, I was thinking about other things from this game that I thought were cool. The GB sound, which I mentioned, did you like that, or do you not know much of it, or?
The chibi sound?
The GB sounds.
GB sounds. No. Oh, wait, you mentioned the idea that...
I've mentioned this before. Yes.
Yes, you have.
It's a key item.
Yes.
Basically, if you beat all 16 gyms, you remember how there's always like a Game Freak building where people will give you stuff like certificates for finishing the Pokedex and stuff like that?
Right.
So originally it was in Celadon, which it still is in Gen 2 because Celadon is accessible. And so if you beat all the 16 gyms, you can go there and they will give you a GB Sounds key item. In Japanese, it's the GB Player. And basically, you can change, I don't know if this goes for every area, pretty much when you turn it on, it plays the original 8-bit track from Gold and Silver.
Mm-hmm.
For that,
that
area.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Now, the audio effects, like things like clicking the menu and stuff like that, weren't changed, but the background themes and the battle music were. And that was really
cool. It's just, you have all that data. You know, it's just, it's such a nice touch. I mean, you have all of that data. So you can, you know, and you make your new stuff so that, you know, it's a new game because some people might enjoy hearing the old theme. Some might go, oh, it was just rehashed, you know, they didn't do a lot of work. So, yeah, they make the new, the new themes. Miltank composed all of them. They make the new themes. And you are then able to just say, hey, you like those old ones? Here you go. I mean, you have a Versus Seeker anyway. You can go back and fight these people technically, you know, all over again with, you know, with other Pokemon in your box, let's say, given back, you know, you put into your party. And now you can start the game all over again, for the most part, with your Pokemon and your old Pokemon music, which is very interesting to do. So getting more into the, because we dabbled a bit into the behind the scenes stuff, but I want to tackle some more. We have a lot of leftover content, like a lot of stuff, like, you know, from the item bag, overworld sprites, slot machines, the underground, and some audio data from Platinum. And I only bring these up each and every time just to have the just the idea of, you know, if you are able to use, let's say, you know, action replays, or if you're playing it, let's say, via an emulator, you can switch over your overworld sprites, which I find interesting. Where, you know, there are some sprites that weren't introduced in HeartGold and SoulSilver, but you can just take some of the gym leaders and things like that and just be like, I am now you, you know, or I am now fighting you. You don't have your Pokemon, but you are now looking like you. As in, you know, some of the older gym leaders. Yeah, it's, I don't know, I find it very interesting. Also, the idea that the underground is still sort of there, which is weird.
They took the casino out in this game, right, for sure?
Yes, they did. But
and
I,
that upset me,
my,
because I was a big fan.
Here's
I know
the
why.
The Game Corner, well, no, because but the thing is, the Game Corner, I don't know if maybe you can help me confirm this, Maddie, but from what I'm reading, it was European, you know, legislation.
Yes.
That involved them, which is which I'm not saying that that's the issue, Maddie. What I'm specifically asking is, did Japan follow suit, or if I get a Japanese version right now, I'm playing pachinko? That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but I remember that European legislation essentially forced them to have to get rid of the Game Corner, and that sucked
right.
Because.
But
I
understand it completely. Honestly, I understand it completely because I always found it to be – okay, let me rephrase this. As a comedian, I am upset because I was always able to just make jokes about the fact that they're – you know, it's just – I mean, think about it. You know, everyone who says, see, Pokemon is bad because devil Pokemon, you know, devil monsters – that are fighting each other and promoting evolution. And I always got so angry because, again, as a comedian who just really kind of like, you know, notices and looks around, no one ever actually played the goddamn games. Because if they did, they would at the very least add gambling to everything. Where it's just, hey, kids, learn how to gamble. It's okay. You only have to spend your money on the coins that you're buying. Oh, damn, you ran out of them. Well, you're going to buy more? Okay, kid, you know there's a whole game out there, right? There's an entire world out there. You're spending hours in this parlor to get these prizes. You might have a problem, kid, and you're only 8.
No,
Satish, do you have a gambling problem? Maybe this is why you want to open up a damn casino, Satish.
This is definitely something viable. That's a good criticism.
Would you let
kids
into your casino?
No.
Damn it. I was hoping he would say, I would never let kids into my casino, and then I can take our recorded podcast and just turn it into, I would let kids into my casino.
I know. I've watched Fairly Odd Parents. I'm not falling for that trick. Just, I'm Timmy Turner, and I cheated on my math test. I never cheated on my math test. Hi, I'm Timmy Turner, and I cheated on my math test. Now, I remember it was like a gruff bully voice.
Yeah, so it was
like,
No,
Timmy Turner, and I cheated on my math test.
I never cheated on my math. No, but what's really funny, too, is I don't know why, now that you said, you know, like, I would never fall for that trap. I don't know why I would even, like, just want to do this. But it's just, you know, Satish, I'm not that stupid, player recording. I fell for that trap. Like, what? No, I fell for that trap. And I don't know why. But anyway, moving back to this. For like 3 minutes, right. No, but seriously, though, the slot machines, yes, they were removed. And I understand it because, you know, again, as a comedian, it sucks because I sit there and not only with the whole, you know, no one ever complained about it, but I sit there and just laugh where it's just kids gambling. But I understand why it was removed because, yeah, kids gambling.
So here's your update.
Thank you, Maddie.
The slot machines are in the Japanese version. Everywhere else got Voltorb Flip, which was Minesweeper.
Yes, it was. So, yeah, and I assume because in Japan, pachinko isn't the craziest thing in the world. Because, yeah, I believe they were pachinko. Well, no, were they technically pachinko? I think in some games they were. Pachinko is the whole, like, the little, like, well, you saw it in Dire Ranger, Satish. The little tiny, like, the silver balls.
Blinko.
Pachinko. We had like a one of them was like the pachinko player.
I know what you're talking
about. Yeah. I think in one of the gens they had like a pachinko thing, but most of the time it's just slot machine. But I'm pretty sure one gen did. Yeah. But anywho. So another thing that we didn't have Well, first off, there's a debug mode that did exist, but does it now. And also, lock capsule. Do you know what this is?
The lock capsule?
Yes, it is an unreleased event item, and it was intended
right.
to be transferred into Black and White to unlock an event there. And it can be added to the bag through hacking, but since its, you know, purpose is to bring it to another game, it does nothing in this game.
That's wonderful.
Yes. So I don't know if it can be transferred after that. I'm not going to ask Maddie because I just feel like this is getting silly. But it would be very interesting if it could, but I assume that exact event could just be unlocked by, you know, doing it in Black and White. So it doesn't really, you know, if there was even such an event that was now hidden or was just made plain as day because, you know, Black and White is the next game that they just said, we don't need this item because
we
can just
stuff.
Do it.
I mean, we got to this point in the podcast, and we didn't even mention the Pokewalker or the spiky-eared Pichu. And
which, by the way, I would like to mention to everyone, who's thinking, is the show over? No, we're extending it for the next half an hour. Definitely, you know, keep on listening in and have some fun with us. So,
I
if
wish
anyone
you
in the archive,
me these
that means
before
nothing.
You tell everyone else.
To anyone, I love you, man. So, and anyone else listening in the archives, this means nothing.
He tells me 30 seconds before, and we're extending this for a half hour. If I had something
to
do.
Did you think, okay, dude, this is me, though. At 12:27, I would have been, and then we're at the end. Good night, everybody.
No, I would have been fine if at 12:27 you gave me a heads up, like, hey, and we're going to extend this for a half hour. You gave me hope until the last 15 seconds and then decided to tell me, and half hour more.
Well, no, because at any point during the half an hour, it's our show, dude. But the idea that, you know, because I looked at it in 12:23, and I was like, well, you know, I mean, I'll wait a couple of minutes until, but, you know, we had a lot to say. And then immediately it was just 12:30, and I thought, oh, let's inform people now while we're – anyway, also, wait a minute. You're an asshole. Let me tell everyone why he's an asshole. He has the board, the soundboard, open. And he can see the on-air time.
Yeah.
You've known it all along.
Yeah.
You're a monster.
They
anyway,
didn't know I knew.
Forward, I didn't know you knew.
I know. That's why this is fun for me.
You're a monster.
Why do you think I don't get mad at you when you do these things? I'm really in control the whole time. This is all for the show.
I would mute you, but at the same time, I love you so much and I want to, you know, talk to you about these things that I won't. But I'm very upset at you right now.
Well, I'll tell you something that won't make you upset. If you send that lock capsule illegitimately to Black and White, it can be opened up for TM95. Snarl.
Can you get the TM in the game without needing the lock capsule?
It involves another event, I believe. Also, you cannot legally obtain the lock capsule, so you were cheating when you thought about it, Matt. When you thought
right.
about it.
Well, of
when
course
you thought
I was.
About it. Talking about it made you a cheater, because you knew.
Right, yes. Also, something that I also I want to point out that it's cool that it does something, because you would think that maybe they would. I also thought you were going to say, if you send it to your Black and White, you know, illegally, because you're not supposed to have it, your game will explode. I don't know why I always go to explode, but I find it the funniest because the games can't actually explode. They can, you know, they cannot work. They can, you know, you can scratch them a bit and they just won't load. But the idea of just the game going, is that? That's fire. That's fire. I just find funny for some reason. So it's just the idea of just, oh, if you send it over there, Nintendo will know. And they will I will find you. Liam Neeson? I'm working for Nintendo.
Really funny
pretty steady
if something
game.
Like an illegitimate lock capsule, like triggered an alarm for them, where it's like as soon as you logged on to Wi-Fi, somebody used a lock capsule. Find them now. Take them down.
Let's go, guys. Anti-piracy Nintendo squadron.
God, that sounds like a fun video game.
The anti-piracy Nintendo squadron, right?
That sounds like a Sentai that you would make.
It's just three guys and two girls that just constantly bust down people's doors and just goes, you used PokeBank illegally. So, I mean, what are you going to do? We wanted to let you know that. Also, fix your own damn door, you fucking hacker. Just because they broke down the door. which is fix your
and
own
they
damn
don't
store.
Pay for the damages, because that's their motto.
No, they don't pay for the damages, right? And it's just like, you know, immediately, you know, like lawyers just come up. Not lawyers, but like the police. You can't just go around busting down doors. Look at the user agreement. Have a nice day, gentlemen.
The police are like,
nobody even read that. Damn you,
no one ever
Nintendo!
Did.
No one
Slash
ever read
Game
that.
Freak,
because no one would.
Game
Slash
Freak.
Game Freak.
This
Slash
is Game Freak
well,
thing?
Well, Game Freak made it. But Nintendo, I would assume, would make all the contracts in terms of user agreements and things like that.
I don't know, Game Freak seems more like the type of people that would have the squad. Because, you know, these are the type of people that program things like bad eggs into the game to, like, ruin your experience if you over-cheated.
Right, that is true. Oh, by the way, speaking of bad eggs, not if you over-cheated, but if you saved it with cheats that you shouldn't have, or what is it specifically? Like, okay, because bad eggs, I know they occur. But how, like, in other words, if you, like, save them with certain cheats on that you shouldn't have, that will cause the bad egg, right? It wouldn't be just, like, do we know still, like, what causes bad eggs specifically? Where it's just, yeah, dude, don't save with that cheat on, or something like that.
I have to be honest with you. I think the cases to make bad eggs is slightly different towards each generation. So I couldn't
Fair enough.
Confirm to you. Hello?
Yes, Mr. Ram.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think I lost connection with you for like 30 seconds. But,
well, I heard you perfectly.
Yeah. Essentially, I think you can get a bad egg different ways in each game.
Right.
So, not sure how you completely screw yourself over, but I just know that once you got one, it was really, really, really bad.
Yes. No, you done fucked up.
Sounds redundant. Oh, the bad egg is bad. Thank you, Captain Obvious Ram. But,
and speaking of the fun anti-piracy squad, there is an anti-piracy method in this game. I don't know if you know that, if you noticed. Or, well, then again, you bought the game, so clearly you fucking wouldn't. But to anyone who tried to emulate the game early on, right, if the game knows that it's being played on a flash card or an emulator, and this, of course, is when it first came out, because obviously after, you know, a while, hell, after the first day that it happened, I'm sure most emulators would be able to, you know, avoid it, or most flash cards would be updated to go against it. But at the time, the game would freeze at the start of a battle, right? And the player's Pokeballs would just constantly spin. And in my head, I think of it as like a loading screen in hell. Where it never works. You're just there.
Ooh.
And I find that frightening. Because it freezes right there, and you can never, obviously, go through the game because, I mean, the game's frozen. So, yeah, that is what would happen if you... But, of course, again, people got through that. So we need the anti-piracy squadron to just come there and save the day. And by save the day, I mean just break down people's doors, yell at them, and then leave. And it's all in the contract.
You would think the anti-piracy squadron had something better to do.
I mean, this is what they do. I mean, I think if people around, let's say they're an American-based squadron or they're the American branch, if people
right.
around America who try to bring over their hacked Pokemon in through Pokebank, right, if they were taught that lesson, right, and one episode could be like a crazy one where it's just someone used the Emerald cloning glitch. Damn it, we can't bust in his door, but I have a gut feeling, Sarge. I gotta do it, man. Come on, 5 Mews from one person's ID in Pokemon Emerald? That can't just be a coincidence.
I would love to do it to mess with the anti-piracy squad, where I clone
yeah.
my Mew 30 times and just have an entire box of shiny 6 IV Mews transferred to my X and Y through Pokebank.
But it's completely legitimate because... But,
the first
but at the same
one was
time,
legitimate, hacked by Action Replay. But legitimate...
Because it's not really a hack in terms of you were, you know, if
yeah,
fucking Nintendo delivered,
prove,
you'd be able to get onto
they
the...
They can prove nothing. And it would have
But they're
been,
sitting there. They're sitting there, and it's just, it's the same ID 30 times. I'm sorry, Jim. You know, it's like, I'm sorry, Jim, but I'm telling you, it checks out. Listen, Sarge, you know, just completely just going nuts on this. It's like, Jim, you're holding me by the collar. I could have you fired for this. Give me your gun and badge. I had a gun and badge? Jim, where's your gun and badge?
I don't know why your anti-piracy squad has a gun and badge. But I'll tell you what Soul Silver and Heart Gold players had. And that was
okay.
A Poke Walker. If
right,
you bought the game
play
new.
The Poke Walker. Right.
Yeah, because, you know,
I don't have one. Sadly.
Completely unrelated to gun and badge.
but it was an accessory that you could use. Right.
Yeah, you could actually, you know, it counted your steps as experience for the Pokemon in there. And that was one thing, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And you could actually use it for mini games to allow you to explore some areas that you wouldn't have got otherwise, where you can find some Pokemon that you wouldn't have easily been able to get.
Yeah, so there's no exclusive Pokemon, but there are Pokemon that are easier to get through Pokewalker.
I'm not 100% sure, because the Pokewalker... It could hold. You could link you to two games, and I know you could hold one Pokemon in there at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, let's see. No, you know what? I don't want to say
because I've heard, and this is
incorrect.
Just something that I heard. So I'm kind of just throwing out what I heard is that you can get some Pokemon that you may have been able to get, let's say, in either Platinum, you know, or Diamond Pearl, that kind of gen that obviously, like you said, wouldn't be easy to find. Or possibly from Fire Red Leaf Green, where they did have the opportunity to release new ones, you know, the same Pokemon in this game. But that doesn't mean that you're supposed to be able to get everyone just by going and catching them out in the wild. Because, you know, when you release the Pokewalker, you sit there and you go, how do we make this thing feel like it's exclusive so that you're not going to buy this game secondhand and you're going to give us money specifically? Because, you know, by now, of course, it's kind of silly where it's just you're not going to give anyone money by, you know, you're not going to give Nintendo money by buying the game. But at the time, you know, A, piracy is a bitch. It really is. Piracy is a pain in the ass for,
right.
You know, companies like Nintendo. And two, the idea that, you know, You say you buy it secondhand, you know, but in the first week where it's just, you know, I'm buying it off of my friend, let's say, even then the friend would have the Pokewalker, yes. But if you're saying, oh, I'm buying it off of, you know, eBay or something and there's no Pokewalker, that's a huge thing where it's just, fuck it, I'd rather buy it from Nintendo in the first week or I'd rather buy it here in the first month. Because why would you get one with the risk of not having an essential, quote-unquote, or even added part of the game? You know, the gameplay, where you can just sit there and just, you know, level up your Pokemon or play fun mini games, you know, in places where you couldn't bring your DS for some reason. Like class, let's say.
Yeah, actually, this was a running gag where because of the pedometer, I had my Pokewalker with me in school, and people were finding ways to get my Pokewalker up. So we'd be playing catch with my Pokewalker. We'd be, at one point, someone took their shoelace, tied one end around the metal, like, you know, the basically structure under my desk, the metal arm that was holding up my desk.
Right,
tied
this is when
one
you were
arm
in high school.
Yes. Tied
right.
One arm around that and tied the Pokewalker to the other end and just poked it, and it swung like a pendulum, and it up like three steps every swing.
That's
and this
hilarious.
Was me, and this was me in AP Calculus.
Right. Right.
This was like 11th grade me, just like toying with my Pokewalker in AP Calculus.
That's great. Also, by the way, you mentioned something that you only mentioned briefly because we went into that. Some would call it asinine. I would call it genius idea for a new hit TV show. But anyway, the spiky-eared Pikachu. Sorry, the spiky-eared Pichu. You
right.
Mentioned that it exists. It is
Time
a forest
travel.
Event. Yeah, it is an event, it is a special Elux Forest event, but there's also, as we always mention in these games, it has a shiny version as well. However, it cannot be obtained shiny through the event. It's a bit like Arceus, where there's only one god. There is not, oh, here's this god, but here's the cooler, shinier god.
Yeah, it's a Pikachu-colored Pichu and a spiky-eared Pichu.
Right.
And
yeah.
They were limited to that area where I forget if you could bring the spiky-eared Pichu triggered the event at the Ilex Forest, right?
I do not know myself. I just would like to mention that you know, from what I've been reading, you are unable to get a shiny version of that. And it's only in there, as we've always said, you know, since the dawn of time, or since rather, you know, the second gen, they are in there to make sure that, you know, if for some reason you were an idiot who decided, I'm going to screw with the game and I'm going to turn on shiny codes for everything, right? If it appeared, your game didn't burst into flames and curse you and your soul. So if you do that, it's there. But if you end up trying to catch it or whatever, or trying to send it to, you can send it to any game technically until you hit PokeBank time, where PokeBank goes, no. That is shiny. That is not supposed to be shiny.
Well,
and
actually,
you can't let that
through. The spiky-eared Pichu and the Pikachu-colored Pichu, I don't believe they were ever able to leave your game, because you would get a notification about the Pokemon, especially the spiky-eared Pichu. One of them, they had traveled through time, and so they couldn't be transferred from game to game. And this
upset me
because I was really freaking fond of them.
Yeah, I can understand.
And if I remember correctly, I think one of them maybe was in black and white, but you just couldn't bring them forward. So they're just stuck in the past, and I get really furious because it's like, give me a really cool event Pokemon, and then leave it there. Thanks.
Got it. Yeah, that's upsetting.
Bastards.
So then in this case, I mean, I guess if you were to just flaunt it around to Game Freak and, you know, Nintendo employees, they'd be like, you're a hacking person. How did you know? That reminds me of this one game. I think it was one of those tycoons where you make video games, and it was, and they had an anti-hack method in there. You know, about
video game tycoon. And the anti-piracy method was that if you were pirating a version of this game, you were hit with a glitch that people in the game started pirating your game. And no matter what you did, you would always be losing money.
Yes.
And
it's great.
Downright one of the most hilarious pirating features, you know, anti-piracy features I have ever come across.
Right, because here is where it becomes interesting, right? Where you're thinking, all right, that's what it, you know, like, it sounds funny. It sounds like a funny way to troll, you know, the people that pirated it. But why is it funny? Because it doesn't, like, do anything that makes you think that it's trying to say, you dirty hacker who downloaded it. No. Like, the Nintendo thing in this game shows you, the Game Freak thing in this game shows you, okay, yeah, the spinning Pokeballs, it's because I downloaded it illegally. But in their case, it's just, you could think of it as a simple game function where you are losing, a game mechanic where you lose. So people would post on forums, specifically sometimes, the game's forums, and say, hey man, I'm always losing money because people are pirating my game. Like, what can I do to get some money back and maybe to stop them from pirating? So imagine getting asked that question and just going, you pirated the game. I would never do such a thing. Then how did you get that only exclusive? You know, that happened in another game as well. I can't recall it, but I know I think it was like a first-person shooter. I don't know if it was for any consoles, but I know it was for the PC, where if you start the game and you pirated it, there is this huge, giant monster that just appears out of nowhere. And
you
you're constantly trying to... Yeah, and you couldn't kill it. It would kill you with, like, one hit, I believe, or two hits. You could only try and dodge it as best as you could, and you would constantly shoot it, and it would never die. And it's this freaky-looking monster. I think it has, like, spidery-type legs, and it's fast as hell, and you could never kill it. And you're thinking, and, you know, people that would say, how could I kill this monster? It is programmed to only appear if you've downloaded the game illegally, and you obviously haven't patched in a way that could fix that. Because if you don't, bam, it's there. If you buy the game legally, you just start the game, and I think you talk to an NPC, and they, you know, and you just start, you continue the game. Everything's fine. It's pretty cool, right? But anyway, so in this case, you know, you were unable to sadly you were unable to spread
yep.
the Pokemon around.
There you go. This is it, by the way, because I'm laughing because I knew that you had read the same article I read.
On
piracy features.
Right.
Serious Sam 3, after picking up the game's very first gun, pirates are greeted with a super-fast, immortal red scorpion enemy. If somehow the pirates manage to cheat or get around the deadly foe, a few levels later, the camera locks in an up-and-left position, forcing the player to run in silly circles.
That's funny. So, yeah, even if you tried your hardest, it would still do that. I know Grand Theft Auto 4, I believe, was the game that had something called Drunk Cam. Yeah, fucked with the camera. And whenever you got into a car, it would start to flame up as if it would explode. So you basically couldn't do anything. But anyway, so if you somehow had a shiny version of a spiky ear Pichu, they would look at you, and they would be like, no. Yeah, anyone from Nintendo or Game Freak would go, no. Same thing with Arceus, which is why you cannot send over shiny Arceus, because I've said it before, but I really want to just put out the idea of, yeah, I know there's that one god, but then there's that really cool shiny god. So, no, the idea of there's one god, you know? But also some, you know, so those Pokemon are unattainable. Also, there's something strange about Nosepass I want to bring up. Nosepass gained the ability to learn Head Smash, like as an egg move, right? And, you know, that wouldn't really mean much. But because, you know, all the Pokemon at the time, had the ability to learn Head Smash with an egg move in those games, right? But the thing is, apparently, Nosepass cannot breed with anything that learns Head Smash, making the move unobtainable. So apparently the ability was removed in Black and White and remains unavailable even in X and Y. But it's just really funny.
Yeah, I was going to mention something about the Dragon's Den, and then you just bring this Nosepass thing to me, and I'm laughing because it seems like the dumbest oversight in the world, where Nintendo's like, yeah, that Pokemon could probably learn it. A week later, guys, you realize you made it capable of learning the move and then made it legally unavailable to that Pokemon.
And they must have all looked at each other. No, everyone looked at each other at Game Freak. They all just looked at each other. And the Nintendo executive who said that because they heard the news looked at them. And they looked at the Nintendo executive and they said, did you know the Kagono girls have like a really cool story now? Did you know that you could get Celebi? Like the executive just glaring them down. Okay, we understand how you feel. We get it. We're right there with you. But you can give anyone can give you their phone number now. The sprites are awesome.
To the point
sprites
where
are shiny.
Almost annoying as hell.
What? What was?
No, the phone number thing where, oh my God, everyone will just every single person can give you their number.
I think what became annoying to me was the idea that you could miss a call. Because if I don't have the volume on, it doesn't really register that someone's calling, and then I click the A button to someone, and then I miss the call. And I'm like, damn it, that may have been an important call. I'm worrying about my Pokemon. I'm worrying about my calls in a Pokemon game now. Damn it, I missed a very important call, possibly. But anywho.
I was going to mention the Dragon's Den.
Dragon's Den.
Because I believe in the newer ones, you get to team up with the arrival against Claire and Lance. And I don't know about you, but I just thought that was wicked awesome.
Yes, that is indeed wicked and awesome. Together, combined, into a wicked awesome hybrid.
And you could also pull off getting an Extreme Speed Dratini. I think that was something that was given to you all in Crystal. Because Dragonite, essentially from Dratini, cannot normally learn Extreme Speed. But if you toyed with, like, the Master of the Dragons or something and answered his quiz, he would give you an Extreme Speed Dratini. I wasn't aware of this until Heart Gold Soul Silver because I hadn't played Crystal.
Right. I don't remember that happening. But, I mean, it's also been a while for me as well, and I'm sure you know more than I. I would like to bring up something. Now that I brought up Nosepass, you thought that was funny. I want to bring up something else that I think you might also find enjoyable before we have to kind of run off. There are these NPCs in National Park, right? And, you know, when there's a bug-catching contest, they're all there. When there is not one, they're actually moved. They aren't, like, deleted or something. They're moved to the upper left corner of the map, out of bounds. No, it gets better.
You
can find them if you do the walkthrough Rawls cheat, and they're all lined up in a column. And their dialogue is the same as it would be during the contest. But I'm issuing a challenge. Do us all a favor. And, you know, someone who is a hacker, please change the dialogue, somehow find a way to maybe remove Pokemon contests either from the game or just do something where you could change the dialogue at least when they're out of bounds somehow. So that if you're an idiot who just goes, I'm going to walk out of bounds and talk to these guys. I can do anything. I have this cheat. And you talk to them and they go, this is where we are when we're not doing Pokemon contests. Talk to the other one. This is a kind of hell for me. Like, you know, to the third one.
I wish I could see the rest of my friends. No,
I get hungry
just,
here.
I would go further than that. Just the second you talk to them. So you're one of those action replay users, aren't you? That's what you look like.
Or maybe
like.
The second just, one, or maybe he's using an emulator, isn't he?
They're just all in conversation about you being a cheater. And it would be great where it's like, how do they know? The third one, I hope you use the right action replay code. If you use the wrong walk through wall sheet, you can fuck up your save file.
The fourth one? No. Just, this is really creepy. No, but like, I would like the last part to be, you should save just in case. I should save just in case. No, John, no. But anywho, they're all lined up, and their dialogue is exactly the same as during the contest. So it's not like they're just different characters. They're the same characters. It's just you're not supposed to interact with them. But, of course, I assume Nintendo, knowing what people are able to do, they don't want to do something where, let's say, they turn off the script or something crazy happens, where if you go out there and you're like, oh, let me click A, data erased. This game will melt in 5 seconds. Like, what? So you're able to speak to them and they give you dialogue, but obviously they're all lined up in a damn, they're all lined up outside, out of bounds, just waiting. Just, is it our time yet? No, you wait here until Pokemon contest, bug contest. Okay. But that's the note we're leaving this on, everyone. The happiest note we can. I'm smiling. Thank you guys.
I hope you're happy with yourself.
I actually hate myself on a normal day. But anyway, we would like to thank you guys for listening to those guys. And, you know, if you want to listen to any more of our shows, please do. We have our Tumblr, thoseguysontheradio.tumblr.com, where you can see all of our old archive shows, like WWE shows, WWE pay-per-views, Pokemon games, future Pokemon games that we'll be doing, Gravity Falls, Steven Universe, Gotham, The Flash, Arrow, Black Dynamite, Mike Tyson Mysteries, and many more Dragon Ball Z movies, Bleach movies, and many more. Also, our Facebook /thoseguysontheradio, or you can just search up those guys. Our Twitter @thoseguysradio with the name Hillbilly Jim. That's a WWE joke, and which we also post not only pictures of our of our shows on there, links to our shows, but we also post very funny cat pictures of watching those guys watching the screen that they could listen to us on. So, speaking of that, if you want to send us your funny cat pictures, you can do that. You can go on our Gmail, thoseguysontheradio@gmail.com, and send us your funny cat pictures or any animal listening to those guys, looking at, taking a picture of them, looking at the computer screen or, maybe the phone, if you listen to us through the phone, and just kind of just sitting there listening to those guys, because animals love us, apparently. Also, you can Gmail us about any advertising opportunities. If you want to promote your legal product and or your legal company with us, please, talk to us and we'll work something out. Or show suggestions, which you can do through our Tumblr or through our Gmail. And also, anything else you get through our Tumblr specifically is Pokemon Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire. If you have not, if you have yet to, reserve the game, please do. Because you can get the game through us on our website, thoseguysontheradio.tumblr.com, buy it through Amazon, and really help us out in the long run. Anything that I missed?
What is your character really doing on the magnet train?
What is my what?
What is your character really doing on the magnet train? Food for thought.
I don't know. Don't scare me like that. I don't know, man.
Good. It's better you don't know.
So thank you guys for listening in. We will be doing some more shows in, Pokemon shows
in
the future, obviously.
It's better than none of you know.
Also, I almost forgot to mention our newest account, our Instagram, which is just, you know, / those guys on the radio, where we post our, you know, pictures of our newest episodes. So, yes, totally like us on Instagram or follow us. Whatever.
Good that you know about that. Yeah.
I'm going to play us out, you freaking fetish. I don't know, man. I love you. I don't know.
Yeah. It's good that you play us out. Like,